Welcome everyone to today's Autistic Moment, a podcast for autistic adults by an autistic adult. My name is Philip King Lowe. I am the owner, producer, and host, and I am an autistic adult. Thank you so very much for listening. Today's Autistic Moment is a member of the Autistic Podcasters Network. Today's Autistic Moment is a free podcast that puts autistic adults front and center, where our stories are always the headline. This first segment of today's Autistic Moment is sponsored by the Autism Society of Minnesota, Minnesota's first autism resource. For over 50 years, the Autism Society of Minnesota has been honored to support Minnesota's autism community. Visit them online at ausm.org. Thank you for joining me for this episode, Suicide Prevention for Autistic Adults. Lisa Morgan is my guest for this show. Please visit todaysautisticmoment.com, where you can listen to the podcast, get transcripts, program updates, and read the guest bios pages. Please visit the future shows page with the titles, guests, and descriptions of all the shows coming up through November. The transcripts are sponsored by Minnesota Independence College and the community. The transcripts can be read and followed from the website. There is a link provided to get access to a document form of the transcript that you can print it, so it won't use up the ink on your printer. The written document transcript has a font that is accessible for dyslexics. While visiting the website, please consider supporting the work of Today's Autistic Moment with a financial donation or purchase an item from the logo shop. I have one important announcement. The podcast app Stitcher discontinued their operations on August 29th. That means that you can no longer hear Today's Autistic Moment on Stitcher. Following this segment is the ad with all of the podcast apps where you can listen to Today's Autistic Moment. Please follow Today's Autistic Moment on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Want to chat with me and other listeners? Join Today's Autistic Moment community group page on Facebook. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel at Today's Autistic Moment to watch any episode of Autistic Voices Roundtable Discussions. If you listen to the opening theme for this show, and you are thinking that you heard something a little different, you are correct. You did. The catchphrase for today's Autistic Moment has been updated. I know that autistics and our stories are set aside by people who think they have the right to question us. Many autistic adults who live independently are sometimes suspected of faking to fleece the system. Autistics with higher support needs, who may be non-speaking and use augmentative and alternative AAC devices, are all too often presumed to be unintelligent, and therefore the funding for their support needs are not adequate. Today's Autistic Moment is the podcast where you are validated. Today's Autistic Moment not only shares in what autistic adults are experiencing, but we also put you and your stories front and center as the headline for what my guests and I talk about. Today's Autistic Moment is here for autistic adults and our caregivers to hear our conversations about the topics that we live through, to find some supports and resources to help us through the rough times we are living through. You are invited to join me and six autistic individuals on the YouTube channel at Today's Autistic Moment on Wednesday, October 19th at 2 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time for Autistic Voices Roundtable Discussions, Your Behavior Is Not Appropriate. Every autistic has heard those words too many times to count on our fingers and toes. Most likely, there are autistics out there who just heard a manager at their workplace tell them that their behavior is not appropriate. Autistics have heard those words from parents or while dating someone. Autistics hear the words, "your behavior is not appropriate," when we have tried to ask someone for help or spoken up at an event where they ask for the input of everyone there. The autistic gives their input through our unique way of communicating, and we get told our behavior, along with what we said, was not appropriate. Six autistic individuals are going to talk together about how we feel when we hear someone say those words. Please join us for this incredible conversation. Two episodes ago, you heard my conversation with Becca Lori Hector, Carol Jean Whittington, and Dr. Scott Forsard about self-care after autistic diagnosis identification. The first few months and years after a late diagnosis identification are full of uncertainty. Autistics may understand clearly for the first time why their lives have been so difficult. They may realize why they couldn't hold on to a job they loved. For some autistics, after a diagnosis identification, will inform their manager that they are autistic, and the manager will assume they no longer have the ability to do their jobs, and they terminate them. Many autistics are trying to get disability benefits with no one to help them keep their home while they go through the long, drawn-out process. They turn to resource centers, and no one has enough training about autism, and they invalidate us and dismiss us. What many autistics experience in these times is thwarted belonging. These are only a few reasons why autistics might experience suicidal ideation. I probably have listeners that are going through suicidal ideation as I am talking at this moment. Lisa Morgan is back on today's Autistic Moment to talk about why many independent autistic adults experience suicidal ideation. Lisa will explain what suicidal ideation is and what many autistics need to help them turn back and do some important self-care. Lisa is an autistic adult who has experienced suicidal ideation. Lisa knows what it is like to be unintentionally harmed by well-meaning professionals who don't see our strengths and validate us. Lisa's work on autismcrisissupport.com contains resources to help autistics use their strengths to turn from suicidal ideation and rebuild their lives to reach for their greater potential. You will hear Lisa talk about some of those resources in a few minutes. Before the commercial break, I want to prepare those with auditory sensory needs that you will hear a little feedback while Lisa was talking during the interview. I have put the recording through my sound lab to edit it out, but I am not able to eliminate it completely without losing the important points Lisa makes. The feedback goes out a few times during the recording, so you can listen to Lisa more clearly, but it does come back on a few occasions. You may want to turn the volume down a little on your device to help reduce the feedback. I do apologize and appreciate your patience. Stay tuned after this first commercial break for my conversation with Lisa Morgan. Today's Autistic Moment can be downloaded and heard on most podcast apps, including Apple, Google Play, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, iHeartRadio, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Spotify, TuneIn, Pandora, Amazon Music, Audible, Podcast Addict, Podcast Chaser. If you are looking for the transcripts, go to todaysautisticmoment.com, click on the episode you want to listen to, and follow the directions to find the transcripts. Thank you for listening to today's Autistic Moment.
Support comes from Minnesota Independence College and Community, a life and career skills program for young adults with autism and learning differences. Help a young adult take a step towards their independence and a vibrant life. Learn more at miccommunity.org.
Lisa Morgan, welcome back to today's Autistic Moment. It's so great to have you on as a guest today.
Thank you. It's great to be back. It's great to be on again.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we have started Suicide Prevention Month, which September always is. And yes. I know that you do a lot of work with autistics and crisis situations. So I think it's a great way to begin by talking about suicide prevention for autistic adults and that sort of thing. And so I'm going to let you start because of all the information you have to share. So let's start with what important information do autistic adults and our caregivers need to know about? And let's also talk about some of the many barriers that exist because suicide prevention in general is a rough thing, but when you talk about autistic adults, there are other things to be considered here. So go ahead and answer those questions.
Well, I mean, I think what needs to be known really is that suicide is a leading cause of premature death for autistic people. There are a lot of providers who don't understand that. A lot of people who support in crisis centers and just are in a place to support people in suicide prevention just don't seem to understand that autistic people have that same need for support as non-autistic people. And you know, that's one of the barriers as well, is just if they know the autistic person is autistic, they don't give them the suicide questions to, you know, assess their crisis. There's that. And then if they do know and they have an autistic person that they're supporting for a suicidal crisis, suicidal intent, or just, you know, suicidal ideation, thoughts and ideas, the communication becomes difficult, and there can be a lot of unintentional harm that happens by well-meaning people who are supporting autistic people. And that there are unique risk factors, that there are, you know, considerations to take when using the warning signs of the general public, that autistic people present differently in crisis situations. There's a lot of things that people need to know to support an autistic person in a crisis.
Yeah. Well, one of the statistics that you gave me, it's a study by Cassidy et al. In 2018, that 66% of newly diagnosed autistic adults experience suicidal ideation. And that is 17% above the general population. Can we talk about why that is? Why that number is as high as it is? Can you talk about that, please?
Sure. Well, in her study, the newly diagnosed autistic people, when they're diagnosed later in life, these were all adults. There's a lot to, it can be a relief. It can be, people take their new diagnosis in many different ways, but there's always some trauma. There's always some grief in, oh, if I had only known so many years ago. There's always, stories about being fired, about having relationship difficulties, lifelong up to that point wherever they are when they get diagnosed. And that's
Right.
a lot to live with. That's a lot to have that in your inside of yourself
Yeah.
and be dealing with all the time.
Yeah. And chances are that, when I was doing my show with Becca Laurie Hector and Carol Jean Whittington and Scott Frassard, I know Carol spoke of that she had had suicidal ideation ever since she was six, but it
Yes.
wasn't until she got that she was identified that she understood why she always felt like she was in ter terrible burnout, and so and I like to say that once we're identified as autistics, especially late identified, there is that sense that your entire life history has been rewritten and you're kind of brought face to face with why you did certain things, and sometimes the reason why definitely isn't comforting,
Right. And I mean, I would love for everybody to understand that, most likely in the moment with what they knew, they made the best decision and they did the best that they could in that moment. But then hindsight can be a terrible thing because then when you know what you know later and you're like, oh, this is the way I should have done it. And we're hard enough on ourselves usually anyway. That can really cause someone to, just feel terrible about what they've done in the past. But I'm sure that, in the moment, and I have those same things in my past where I can go back and say, I really did the best I could with what I had, with the knowledge that I had, with the experience that I had, with the understanding that I had in that moment. That's why I did what I did. There's also things where we, can look back and say, I probably would have done the same exact thing right now because I'm autistic and that's just the way I think and experience the world. And we'll continue to, I'm continually misunderstood, even by people who know I'm autistic. It's better, and I don't get as much judgment and I don't get as much relationship problems because they understand now, but I still do the same things that used to get me, I don't want to say in trouble, but having, a difficult situation in the past.
Yes, and when we were talking about self-care after autistic identification, one of the things I mentioned is the fact that I went through a really difficult grief process after I was diagnosed, because I realized a career that I had loved and done for years, it wasn't going to come back. That I had to
Right.
set a new course for my life. And I also then understood why there were certain relationships that just were not going to get revived. And I remember a few years ago attending a workshop about suicide prevention for autistics. And among those things was that reasons was because, autistics may not have the wide circle of friends, might not have the wide circle of supports. We know that we have difficulties maintaining jobs. We know that mo a lot of us live in poverty. There's all these things going on in life that really makes life complicated. And Carol Jean Whittington said, some when we're at this place, we just need things to stop. But they don't often stop, they just keep going. And so I think it's I think that's an accurate thing to say. What do you think?
Yes, because it does, there are days where, yeah, it's one thing after another. And these are things that have to do with executive functioning, double booking a presentation or putting, the wrong time zone in, or, just forgetting to pay a bill, just so many things, having a miscommunication with somebody, and it can really pile up.
Yeah.
And it just really does feel like, can everything just stop for a second?
Yeah. And and it can be so difficult to find room to breathe between things, let alone, try to solve one problem or the other, because they're all together in one space. And a lot of us autistics, when we find ourselves in a place of where multiple choices and multiple things are in front of us, we freeze.
Yes, and most likely, that's just what's going on in our environment. Most likely, there's a lot of things going on internally. So we may be ruminating on something that did happen in our past. We may, and you're just thinking about that, and it's going on in the background while all these things are going on in real, in real life in your environment. So it's like a double whammy sometimes where your mind is just as active as what's going on in your life.
Well, my good friend Dr. Stratford-Sard had something to say a few weeks ago that I think we need to give some attention to, because Stratford-Sard has worked as a paramedic in his history, and he saw a lot of suicide situations that did not end happily. And his thought was, when we talk about suicide prevention, we often talk about preventing the suicide. But his point was, what are we doing as a society that makes people feel this way? Why are we not talking about changing that? I think he's got a good point. What do you think?
I think it's a very good point. I think it's a very good point because autistic people, even though more and more is being discovered about autism through research, more and more is being known, by just people in general about autism, and with more and more people being diagnosed and educating themselves about their diagnosis, we're still not accepted by society in a way that we can be our autistic selves. And so we have to mask, we still have to camouflage, we still have to suppress our autistic traits if we want to keep that job, have that relationship or friendship, or just be accepted. So yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done. And if we could, tackle thwarted belonging, which is a unique risk of suicide for autistic people. If we can tackle social communication difficulties, unmet needs, unmet support needs, just being diagnosed later in life because nobody can pick up, nobody, had picked up on it. If we can address those things too, that would stop a lot of the angst and the, the reasons why people get into that thought process in that situation.
Following this next commercial break, Lisa and I will talk about answering one of the participants of the survey earlier in July. We will also talk about what thwarted belonging is and what resources Lisa recommends to help autistics turn back from suicidal ideation.
Hello, autism community. My name is Lisa Morgan. I'm an autistic adult too, and I know firsthand what it feels like to be unintentionally harmed by well-meaning professionals when reaching out for help
My passion is to help autistic people find and use their own unique strengths to help themselves. Are you rule-based, a literal thinker, have a focused interest? Let's figure out together how to use the strengths of autism to find solutions. I offer life coaching for autistic adults and individualized workshops for professionals. To find out more, go to autismcrisissupport.com.
Support for today's Autistic Moment comes from Best Care Home Care Agency. Best Care offers PCA Choice, homemaking, and 245D services throughout the metro and greater Minnesota. Visit their website, bestcaremn.com, to learn more about their services. I know you are loving today's Autistic Moment. My guests are outstanding. The topics we discuss are relevant to what is happening in the lives of autistic adults and our caregivers. The podcast is being referenced to during conversations about autistic adults. The best is yet to come. Go to the logo shop on todaysautisticmoment.com and buy yourself a 16-ounce drinking cup and or a lapel pin with a logo of Today's Autistic Moment beautifully crafted on them. Enjoy your favorite beverage all day long. Wear the lapel pin on your shirt, blouse, jacket, pocket, suit coat, or put it on your purse or duffel bag and start a conversation about your favorite autistic podcast. Customers who purchase a 16-ounce drinking cup and or a lapel pin will receive one purple-colored stylus ballpoint pen with black ink and Today's Autistic Moment's name crafted on the pen for free. Get them now while supplies last. Thank you for listening to Today's Autistic Moment. I'm so glad you're here because when we were talking a couple of weeks ago, I had a survey that I did. I had asked the question, has your life gotten better or worse? And a reminder to my audience, all of my respondents were anonymous, so there's no name to mention here. But the question was, has your life gotten better or worse? And this one respondent wrote, my life is so much worse. I have lost my job, although it's taken 10 years of persistent bullying and micromanaging to get me this far. My friends set me boundaries I can't maintain. Then I get to blame for being too needy, oversensitive, etc. I am alone and I have no reason to continue to exist. We know that this is not the first autistic person, and probably will not be the last autistic person who feels that way.
Right.
How should we respond to something like that? I mean, what would you say to someone who says that?
I would, first of all, definitely validate their feelings and validate their experiences and what they've gone through for those past 10 years and what they're going through now with their friends' misunderstanding and, you know, judging and things. I would definitely validate what he's going through, and then, you know, try to do some regulation, some self-care, And then when he's ready to, there's a resource out there now called Reasons for Living. It's for autistic adults to use themselves if they don't have anybody to help them to build it and develop it. But there's a resource, Reasons for Living, that will help somebody build that list. And I would really try to work on, finding other reasons for him to live and have that list. It really helped me a lot. Someone helped me to develop a list. I didn't even buy into it at the time, but I did use it and it helped me a lot, helped me get through some trying times. So I would try to do that with him. First of all, definitely validating his feelings. So many autistic people are invalidated, which is, I really want to do some research on this. But I really do think that that is a big part of the thwarted belonging thing. And I believe it is in itself a risk factor.
Yes.
But there's no research. Just from experience.
Well, yeah, there are people who have lost jobs. There are people who, upon telling the person they're dating that they're autistic, the person they're dating has left or broken up the relationship. When I was first diagnosed, I had many friends who told me, I understand. And then lo and behold, no, they didn't, that sort of thing. I went through those things. Those things are painful. They're very difficult to go through. And I feel like it's so difficult to really explain to someone who is not autistic, who doesn't have not only the knowledge, understanding, or even the sense of that, everybody's just a little bit different, including our brains are different, that there's no way to really help someone understand what someone might be going through, because how we communicate it is going to be very different. And, and there's also the people, well, I don't agree with you. It's about their opinion versus what we're actually going through, which happens to be our fact. What can you shine some light on stuff like that for us?
Well, there's also people who say that what you're going through isn't that bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, that in itself and everything that you just mentioned, that's thwarted belonging. That's invalidation. And yeah, I've gone through it too myself with friends who say they understand autism and then, tell me that I'm just shy and I just need to shake it off or something. Been fired before, just because I didn't get along with colleagues. My teaching was fine, I was told. It was just because I couldn't get along with colleagues who were very difficult for me to get along with. Something that I experienced myself, and I've actually heard other people experience it as well, is when you get into having those thoughts and you get into thinking that you don't want to live anymore, or you can't do it anymore, you can't stay in the place that you're in anymore. It just feels like, you're at the end of a rope, for lack of better words. They don't recognize it as suicidal ideation all the time. And so, so they don't even know that they are in trouble in that way. I know somebody shared with me that when they Googled, how they were feeling, the crisis line came up. So then they knew, and they knew too, I guess I'm at a point where I really need to possibly get some support. But autistic people, they don't always recognize their emotions to the point where they could say, I am in a suicidal crisis, even if they are thinking those thoughts.
One of the things I think would very much help us, Lisa, can we explain what suicidal ideation means?
Yes, suicidal ideation is sort of an umbrella for suicidal ideas, suicidal thoughts, even suicidal intent. And going, moving into even plans is,
right.
is suicide. It's like an umbrella word for all of those
yeah.
things.
Yeah. Yeah. And so basically it's, it can be one thing leading to the other until they feel like there's no other way out. Does that sound right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, in my, you know, my experience, I started thinking of something that actually made me feel a little more peaceful about the situation I was going through. And I never recognized it as suicidal ideation either. I never recognized it as suicidal thoughts. It was actually a plan and I didn't recognize it. To me, it was just, you know, something that would make everything go away. And that's what my focus was, you know, to make everything go away. And I kept thinking about it and I kept ruminating it and sort of, you know, solidifying the plan. And then I moved and I no longer had, the plan would not be able to be done in the place that I moved. And I became in crisis because I no longer could think about it in the same way. And didn't recognize those thoughts though as suicidal ideation. It was just purely thoughts of getting me out of the situation I was in.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's now talk about what steps should autistic adults and our supporters take to advocate for the needs of autistic adults who experience suicidal ideation, and what can we do to help autistic adults prevent suicidal ideation or, if you will, to move away from those things and try to find some help. I know you do autism crisis support, and I think it's a wonderful thing to be doing. So you do this sort of thing on a regular basis. So go ahead, talk about some of that, please.
Well, I guess first thing that I would like to say is that when you mentioned get help, people don't understand that even if somebody has access to a mental health facility, they have, you know, access to a crisis line, well, everybody does, that does not always mean that the autistic person is going to be helped, because of the difference in communication and the unintentional harm that may come from well-meaning providers who are actually supporting them in a non-autistic way. So, you know, the help has to be help that understands what living with autism is like.
Right.
And so we don't have a lot of that out there.
Right.
There are resources on my website, though, that explain how to support an autistic person. We just released the Reasons for Living one, and we're now working on one. It's actually now the Autism and Suicide Prevention Work Group. We're working on a autistic adult specific resource. So it's for autistic adults. Other people may use it as well, but it's for autistic adults to be able to have support when they call 988. It's going to have, what can they say to get the support they need? You know, what's going to happen on the call, just different things like that. Because a lot of autistic people don't have support when they call crisis lines, unfortunately. And that's been my experience as well. But anybody who can help with the communication, help with the knowledge of the unique risk factors, help with the considerations to take when using the warning signs of the general public, use any resources out there that have been written by autistic-led groups and autistic people who, you know, just understand what it all feels like and what it all is, you know, what the needs are. Just the knowledge and using the resources that are now getting out there, sharing the resources would be, you know, also helpful.
If you were to suggest training for crisis support folks, to help autistic adults? Maybe you've already answered this question. If you have, you can say so. But, you know, how can crisis support be trained? What are some things that they're missing? What do you think is going on there?
Well, I actually do trainings exactly for those people who support autistic people. And I am surprised at the fact that they don't understand that autistic people have strengths and autistic strengths. So, for example, if they find out the person they're supporting is rule-based, they can use that to not only, you know, make a safety plan, but also to use it regularly and know and make rules. And that person will, if they're rule-based, you know, that's a strength that they can use. If they're, you know, honest to a fault, that is, you know, a very helpful safety plan. You're very helpful for building a safety plan because they're going to be very honest. If they are, you know, fair, if they are, you know, creative, problem solver, critical thinker, you know, just use all those strengths. But the people that I give presentations to sometimes, when I set that question out to the audience, you know, what are autistic strengths? It's crickets. There's no, you know, there's very few answers. They get stuck on that. And then to understand that, and this is so, so important, to understand that an autistic person presenting as, you know, in a crisis may not look like a non-autistic person in crisis. So for example, an autistic person in crisis may go inward and look perfectly calm on the outside and say they're in a crisis and people don't believe them. And if they know they're autistic and they say they're in a crisis and they look perfectly fine, their words have to have much more weight than their presentation. And then they may go into such a crisis, they lose the ability to speak or communicate. And then people need to know to, you know, use emojis, use drawings, you know, talk about something else until they're regulated and they can go back and talk about, you know, whatever they're in a crisis about. But it's very different to support an autistic person who is in a crisis for many reasons. And those are some of them.
Yeah. And it's so important that the crisis person not question whether they're legitimately autistic. It's important that they don't say, well, you're too high functioning. Or, you know, it's one of those things where the information that is out there, again, there's misinformation, but then there's this wall of opinions, many of them not good opinions, I'll say that. But, you know, like I know somebody, they went to a doctor to try to seek help for a problem, and they wound up defending themselves as autistic for over an hour. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's Absolutely. Also part of the problem.
And that shows such a lack of understanding, because research has shown over and over again that the people in the highest risk of suicide who are autistic are people who have, you know, that can live independently, that can hold down a job, that can get a college education. You know, they don't have an intellectual disability. Those are the people who understand more that they don't belong in society. You know, they're out there trying to get a college education and it's very difficult and they're misunderstood, and they get to a job and it's difficult and they're misunderstood. And, you know, there's difficulties in relationships and, you know, executive functioning. And, you know, a lot of my clients are college, you know, students, professors, they're people in high paying jobs that, you know, those are the people that need help and assistance in support of, you know, suicide prevention.
And in many of those cases, I'm willing to guess that there are a fair number of those who have been physically, mentally, or even sexually abused. Also individuals who have been gaslighted to death, so somewhat literally, but, you know, and for many autistics, you know, we've clung on to things believing, hoping that it's going to turn around from us, and it doesn't. It just gets worse. I'm sure you meet situations like that a lot of the time.
Yes, there's no real research again on this, but a lot more people, there's just a lot more PTSD in the autism community than people think there are, or people, you know, are diagnosed for.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, growing up without knowing you were autistic and everything that went through that, you know, being bullied, not belonging, not knowing how to make a friend, knowing you're different and not knowing why, all those things, chronically, years, decades, sometimes, you know, they lead to PTSD.
Yes, and they trauma. Do. Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. And I mean, and if that's not part of the problem, it's seeking supports they need. There's a lot of loopholes to go through to actually find support needs. Yes. And when you need your rent paid, or you're going to go homeless, or you need your paycheck and someone's cutting it off because they decided not to continue to employ you, that only makes the crisis situation worse. It doesn't make it better.
Absolutely. And working with paperwork can be really difficult sometimes for autistic people, and to the point where, you know, that may put them in a crisis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just understanding what is this question even asking, you know, and having whether you get support or not dependent on whether you can fill out this form or not, or, you know, having those conversations where people are using acronyms and you're supposed to know, and those social nuances of, you know, social workers, and it's just trying to get those, you know, needs met is very difficult. And that is a unique risk factor of suicide for autistic people, is unmet support needs.
Definitely. I mean, I use a waiver service here, and I went through a couple of years where I was working with people doing intakes on me that would ask the most craziest questions. One of which was, I understand you've got a history of autism. And I'm like, no, I don't have a history of autism. I am autistic even now. So, you know, I mean, it's questions like that can be so challenging for an autistic, because we have to actually explain ourselves, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm in a, you know, I'm getting a master's degree in social work. And my, you know, one of my main problems is understanding the directions of the assignments. They are not clear.
Right. And, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I have actually done the wrong assignment and gotten 0 points, and have been fully capable of doing the assignment if I understood the directions. So
right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I've had my interactions with case managers and case workers where I've asked a question and they'll answer it however they do. And I'm like, well, no, I'm sorry, but that doesn't really make sense to me. You know, sometimes you're looking for an answer, a specific answer, and what they give you is a generalization rather than the specifics. And the more Yes. you try to look for specifics, the more general they get. They don't get more specific, they get more general on you, you know?
Yes. Yep. And that's more difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, just going to a place to get support and having somebody ask you, well, you know, what's wrong? You know, or how are you? Or those vague questions, even getting through that part is difficult for an autistic person, because, you know, what do you answer? Like, how am I today? How am I this minute? How am I just, you know, what did I came in here for? Or, you know, I mean, there's just so many different ways to answer a vague question, and they don't always know what to say. And it's a social skill. It's, you know, it's social communication.
Yeah. Well, one of the skills that I have learned for myself that can be helpful is that when someone will ask me an open-ended question, I really don't interpret open-ended questions. Can you ask that question in a different way? And sometimes I'll have to think a little bit harder about that, but I'm like, if you say to me, how are you today? I'm probably going to freeze, because I don't know what you're asking for, you know?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, or you know, or how can I help you? And, you know, again, I'm someone who I don't know what to tell you, you know? So sometimes I will say, can you give me maybe some examples of some things you might be able to do to help me so that I will know how to ask you for what I'm here for?
That's a great way to do it. That's a great way to do it. And, you know, I will, what you said before, freeze when somebody asks me a question like that, because it, I mean, I think it looks like I'm freezing, but in my mind, I'm going through all the possibilities.
Exactly.
And so I end up not saying anything.
Yeah. Because those possibilities are racing through your mind.
Yes.
And you don't know which one to catch first, you know, or which one will probably make sense. And of course, oftentimes we're thinking, well, if I say they're probably going to tell me no. So, you know, it's like we're kind of looking for the one that we can test run. I think it's like a test run, you know. And so, I mean, our communications is more than half our battles. And sometimes, you know, when we put out information and get some of the replies we get, everything from, quite frankly, insulting our intelligence, thinking we don't have any, or that, you know, we're asking a question or somebody just suggests we don't know what we're talking about. I mean, these things can be very stressful. And when, you know, life is stressful, like I say, you're about to lose your home, you're about to, you know, lose a job, or you need a resource to help you find stuff. Those questions can be so very difficult. And it's moments like that then an autistic person can feel squeezed between what they've got coming and what they're seeking, and not feeling like they're finding anything to get them out. And so sometimes that suicidal ideation is just, I feel trapped. I don't know how to get out.
And then lots of times they go to these places. Like, I finally had somebody who sort of talked me into going to a place to get support when I was struggling, and, you know, had suicidal ideation. And I went in there and I cried before going in the door. It was so hard for me to walk in there. I had never done it before. And when I went in there and finally got in front of the person who was supposed to be supporting me, she asked me what was going on. I told her, and she laughed. You know, I don't even know what I said that was funny. There was nothing funny about what was going on in my life at the time, but she laughed, and I got up and I left, and that was it for me. You know, and I don't know how, I still do not know what happened in that meeting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, Sarah Swan, my good friend here, she's looking for life coaching. You know, she has gone with some of her clients over to the county to start paperwork and everything like that. And she has heard some of the horrible things that people have said to, you know, to them. And that's one of the reasons she'll have people go with them is so that they can kind of talk on their behalf a little bit. You know, the red tape to get services like this, it's difficult. It's more difficult than it really should be. And, you know, like I say, finding the training and the expertise, or even close to the expertise, you know, I make it a point. I understand that if I go to a doctor, okay, I'm probably going to have to explain to them why my hip pain is a little bit more intense for me, because I'm hyposensitive to that pain. But, you know,
might be believed and you might not be believed.
Exactly. Yeah. After this final commercial break, Lisa will talk about why you should ask an autistic if they are thinking of hurting and or killing themselves rather than avoid the subject. After the conclusion of the conversation, today's Autistic Community Bulletin Board.
Does it feel like all your support systems are in separate silos? Does it seem like there are mixed messages and you don't know which way to turn? Being part of a system is hard. it would be helpful to have the tools in your life toolbox to help navigate those silos. Looking Forward Life Coaching can provide support to fill that toolbox to prepare you to bridge those silos. Being person-centered, Looking Forward Life Coaching equips an individual to advocate for their needs. With coaching one-on-one, bridging the gap between the silos of services, you can feel more confident that your needs and desires are met. If you would like more information or would like to schedule a free meet and greet, please visit our website at www.lookingforwardlc.org or call us at 612-504-7414. Looking Forward Life Coaching helps change stumbling blocks of life into stepping stones towards success.
Dr. Devin Price returns to Today's Autistic Moment on September 17th for the episode Conflict Resolution. Autistic adults face more conflict than just about any group of people. Our challenges with verbal and nonverbal communication, finding our social support networks, and the stigmas imposed by our disabilities can burn us out. If the conflicts we have with others doesn't weigh us down, our interior conflict with ourselves most certainly will. Autistics need strategies for conflict resolution. Join my guest, Dr. Devin Price, and I to help us understand where our conflicts come from and how we can work towards resolving them. The title and description of the show on October 1st has been changed. Dr. Nick Walker, the author of Neuroqueer Heresies, Notes on the Neurodiversity Paradigm, Autistic Empowerment, and Postnormal Possibilities, joins me for Neuroqueering, Time for Action. According to Dr. Walker, neuroqueer is a verb that urges us to make the decision that autistics and other neurodivergents will accept ourselves for who we are, and not to try to fit in with what the world determines is a, quote, normal brain versus a different brain, end of quote. Dr. Walker will bring her perspective to the conversations about neurodiversity, sexual orientation, and gender identity that will challenge us to rethink about how we understand and act. Pete Warnby will join me on October 15th for an untypical worldview. Pete's latest book is Untypical: How the World Isn't Built for Autistic People and What We Should All Do About It. Listen to this quote from Pete's book. Quote, imagine a world where people can say, oh, do you mind if we don't shake hands? I'm autistic, you see. And be acknowledged and treated as an equal, end of quote. What are some other ways that an untypical world would look like? Join Pete Warnby and I as we talk about his book and ideas. Check out the future shows page on todaysautisticmoment.com for all shows coming up through November. Do you have any topic ideas for future episodes of Today's Autistic Moment? Go to the Contact Us page on todaysautisticmoment.com and submit your topic suggestions. Go to the page for Be My Guest to submit a guest intake form if you would like to be a guest. Thank you for listening to Today's Autistic Moment. You spoke of some resources of your own, and I really do want to suggest that my audience goes to autismcrisissupport.com. But there are resources out there that can help, and you named a few. Do you have any more resources that you might like to suggest that people research?
Well, if they want to find out about autism and suicide, like in general, there's a policy brief from La Trobe in Australia that they could Google, and or I could even give you the link if you want to put it out there.
Sure.
It's a very good, there's a small one that's 2 or 3 pages long, and then there's one that's 25 or 30 pages long. They can tell you a lot. It was the very first autism and suicide conference in the world where it was just focused on autism and suicide. And then there was a roundtable discussion afterwards that did the policy brief. And then as far as other resources, like if you go to the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention or the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, unfortunately, a couple of our resources are on the Suicide Resource Prevention Center, but when you look at populations, you're not going to find autistic or autism. We're working on that. 988, working on trying to get, you know, some autism resources in there. So I don't really know of any other ones besides the ones that are on the website.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, well, it's an important place to start. But Lisa, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and having this conversation with us. We know that Suicide Prevention Month is a month of a lot of conversations and sharing the 1-800 numbers left and right. But when it comes to autistics, we're lacking so much information. We're lacking resources. And it can be for various reasons. But, you know, I think it's so important that we have this conversation today. So thank you so much for being here and all the work that you do.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm glad that we were able to do this. I totally agree with you. I just want to leave a couple of points is that please believe any autistic person, no matter how they present, if they say they're being suicidal. And also, it doesn't cause somebody to have suicidal thoughts if you ask them if they're going to harm themselves or if they're thinking of killing themselves, as research has shown. It doesn't put that idea in their head. It actually opens a conversation that they may not know how to open themselves.
So your advice is
so much.
No, your advice is to go ahead and ask them a question like that.
Yes, and research has shown it doesn't put the idea in their head, which is a lot of people are afraid to bring the subject up because it might put the idea in a person's head and thoughts, but it doesn't. Research has shown it does not. And it's really good to, if you're concerned for somebody, to ask them if they're thinking about harming or killing themselves, because that may open a conversation that they don't know how to open or are afraid to open.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, Lisa, thank you so much for being here today. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, that would be wonderful. Thanks.
Today's Autistic Community Bulletin Board. All of these events with their links can be found at todaysautisticmoment.com/bulletin board. Join the Autism Society of Minnesota for their Adult Coffee Club. The next coffee clubs will be on Tuesday nights from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Dogwood Coffee in St. Paul on September 12th, September 26th, October 10th, October 24th, and November 21st. Coffee club meetings will be at the Milkweed Cafe in Minneapolis on September 18th, October 16th, and November 13th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Please RSVP at AUSM.org. Understanding Autism virtual classes will be offered by the Autism Society of Minnesota. These classes are perfect for autistic individuals, caregivers, those who want to understand the basics of autism, and support autistic people. Classes will be on October 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. and December 18th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Classes are free of charge, but you must register to attend. Registration is now open for the Autistic Community Summit that will be on October 14th, beginning at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Lionsgate Academy in Shoreview, Minnesota. There will be a full hybrid of in-person and virtual options, integrated social opportunities, half-hour and full-hour breakout sessions, and discussion groups. The cost to attend is $35 per person, and scholarships are available. Click on the link to register on the bulletin board for today's autisticmoment.com or go to ausm.org. Go to ausm.org to download the 2023-2024 Education Catalog with the details of all the educational and social opportunities offered by the Autism Society of Minnesota today. MN, Min Neurodivergent, is a Minnesota organization that offers social events for neurodivergents. Join them on Friday, September 15th at 6 o'clock p.m. for Friday night speed friending at the Phelan Picnic Shelter in St. Paul. Join them on Saturday, September 16th at 1 p.m. at the Minnesota Transportation Museum at the Jackson Street Roundhouse. Go to the bulletin board at todaysautisticmoment.com and click on the meetup link to become a member and attend their events. You are invited to Minnesota Independence College and Community's 6th Annual Independence 5K Run 1 Mile Walk on Sunday, October 1st at Donaldson Park in Richfield, Minnesota. Check-in registration will be at 9 a.m. The race walk will be at 10 a.m. Go to miccommunity.org for more information. Matthew, the hashtag actuallyautistic coach, has room in his Finding Your Autistic self-group coaching groups. In the groups, participants learn about unmasking strategies, coping tools, burnout and post-burnout support, and much more. Go to autisticcoach.com and click on Autism Groups for more information. While visiting Matthew's website, be sure to check out the free autistic discussion circles for autistics of various age groups, careers, students, and ethnic groups. Today's Autistic Moment is sponsored in part by Looking Forward Life Coaching. Looking Forward turns stumbling blocks into stepping stones towards success. Go to lookingforwardlc.org for more information. Today's Autistic Moment is here because of the generosity of the supporters and sponsors. Please join the supporters by clicking on Support Today's Autistic Moment on todaysautisticmoment.com. If you work for a company and or organization that supports autistic adults and the movement for neurodiversity, I would love to have you sponsor ads on the show. If you would like to sponsor an ad or have questions about today's Autistic Moment, please send an email to todaysautisticmoment@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to Today's Autistic Moment, a podcast for autistic adults by an autistic adult. May you have an autistically amazing day. All of the guests meet with me on Zoom to record the interviews. The podcast is created and prepared on Spotify for Podcasters. The music that you hear is licensed to Today's Autistic Moment by PremiumBeat.com.